Today we're looking at the first of them. And when Bill asked me if I would speak on the book of Ruth, or on Ruth, I wondered, which Ruth are we really talking about? I don't know if you heard it on the radio, but apparently Ruth Raper is one of our hopefuls for the new Olympic sport of women's boxing. Well, perhaps we ought to speak about her. Or if you're a soap fan, how about Ruth Winters? Or if you're from the from certain areas of London, perhaps this sort of roof might be more appropriate, you know. But let's get rid of that roof. And let's have a little look at the book that we've just had read, the first chapter. And start off with just a little reminder of the background of what was going on at the time. And why these people have got such awkward names, I don't know. But this guy, Elimelech, and his wife, Naomi, lived in a little town called Bethlehem. Perhaps you've heard of it before somewhere, but these names may not be quite so familiar. And with them, they had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Or your son, for those of you who use other translations, you may find that some of them have got the word Kilion, so there's some question over the name. But these two people were from a race called Ephrathite. Thank you. I'm glad someone can speak for me. They were from that tribe in the little town called Bethlehem in Judah. But there was a problem. There was a famine in Bethlehem. A famine across the whole of Judah. And the family decided it was time to go somewhere where they could find more food. So they moved on. And they moved from Bethlehem to a place, an area called Moab. And when they went there, like anyone who moves from a different country, they really didn't know what they were going to face or what it would be like. But, you know, when you're a family together, that probably works very well. But things didn't go too well, because not long after that move, Elimelech died. The two sons, they got married. Mahlon married Orpah, and Chilion married Ruth. But that didn't work too well either, because not too long after that, Mahlon and Chilion also both died, leaving Naomi with her two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth. Those two had come from the new country that the family had moved to. So Naomi was from Bethlehem, but these other two were from the place called Moab. And you couldn't really have two much more different places. Moab, wide, flat, green plains is what that area was noted for. It looks good, doesn't it? All that green there for a family who'd just come from somewhere where there was a famine. It was a lovely area to be in. But for Naomi, it wasn't home. But for the two girls, it was. Where Naomi came from, Bethlehem, was very much a much more rocky place. There are green parts in Bethlehem, obviously, but the overall situation there was it was hilly, it was rough, it was rugged. Probably not too attractive to people who'd lived in that green area, but once the famine had finished, Naomi wanted to go back to what was her family home, even though the rest of her family had actually died. And this is a very well-known verse, probably the most famous verse in the book of Ruth, explains how Ruth looked at the situation. She said, "Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." Ruth clearly was very committed to her mother-in-law, and she was determined that whatever happens, she was going to go back to that country. But Naomi was pretty depressed about it generally, as we saw in the passage. Naomi told her two daughter-in-laws to go back home. Just go back to the families that you have in your home, to your mum and dad. But Naomi's daughters didn't really want to do that. They wanted to go along with mum, their adopted, you could say it, mum, their mother-in-law, who'd been living with them and looking after them. And Naomi thought, well, you know, looking at the way things have gone, my husband's died, my sons have died, I'm living in a land which isn't my own, things aren't going too well. I think the Lord has turned his back on me. And sometimes we can feel that as well when things aren't going right. We can feel that the Lord has turned his back on us. And eventually Orpah decided she would go back to her mum's home. So that left Naomi and Ruth heading across this rocky way round the sea, back towards Bethlehem. And eventually they got there, and some people remembered Naomi from the days when she lived there. And they said, "You're Naomi, aren't you? You used to live here a long time ago." She said, "Yes, but don't call me Naomi, because that word means pleasant. And at that time, things weren't too pleasant. So she said, "Call me Mara," a word that means bitter in Hebrew. But Ruth had gone the whole journey. She had travelled right through to Bethlehem and into what for her was a very different, strange land. And I think one of the things we need to pick up from this book of Ruth is the example that Ruth set and the length she was willing to go to. She loved and supported her mother-in-law, Naomi, all the way through. Ruth was willing to move to a completely different land, to live in a foreign land. And I know there are a number of people here who've done that, so know what that experience is like, to move from somewhere where you know, you've known all your life, to somewhere which is probably a totally different environment. Not always easy to do. And one of the things you'll find if you read through the whole book of Ruth, there are some rather unusual customs among the people there. And we'll look at a couple of them in just a moment. But Ruth decided that she was going to fit in, she wanted to fit in with the customs of the local people. And to do that, it involved her in some very hard, menial work. But above all, she wanted to recognise that Naomi's God was the true God, that the gods that she'd been worshipping in Moab were not the real thing, not the real item. And she wanted to meet up with the real God. And because of her faithfulness, eventually her status became raised. Initially, she moved in a very poor existence, but slowly, because of her faithfulness, her status was raised and she was accepted by the people as being one of their family. Later in the chapter, we read of a guy called Boaz, who was a rich landowner, but he was also a relation of Elimelech, the father who died. And we read in verse 10 of chapter 2, Ruth said to Boaz, "Why have I found favour in your sight that you should take notice of me, a foreigner?" There's nothing new, is there? Hasn't this been a theme that's gone on over the centuries? That people who are foreigners are often thought to be second rate by some people. And this is what Ruth felt there. She expected to be looked down on as a stranger, a foreigner, someone who didn't belong. But Boaz had an answer for that. "I have heard about everything that you have done for your mother-in-law since your husband died. I know how you left your father and mother and your own country, and how you came to live among a people you had never known before." She was prepared to come along, to adapt to this new way of life. And as a result, things became better. She started off, one of these customs was called gleaning. You may have seen this painting. I believe it's in the National Gallery. It's in one of the London galleries called The Gleaners. But what on earth is a gleaner? It's not something that we are used to. But what happened in those days, if a family was very, very poor, they didn't own any land, they had no money, they couldn't earn a living, they perhaps couldn't get a job. What happened was, after the harvest had been taken, then these people were allowed to go round the field and pick up anything that had been dropped, anything that was left, and hopefully get enough to prepare a meal for themselves. And gleaning, I suppose, in those days was the social security of that day. It was the only means of income for people in that very much agricultural situation there. So she started off picking up the bits and pieces, the dregs, the bits that had been dropped, or the bits of barley that weren't really up to standard, and she collected them. But over time, she found that her boss, Boaz, saw how hard she'd worked and decided that she'd earned a better living and helped her to actually get a job to start taking in the harvest, not just taking in the remnants. And another unusual custom they had, which she discovered as we went through the passage and through the book, was a thing called a kinsman redeemer. Now this again, I don't know if any countries these days have this custom in operation. They may. But what happened in essence was that when a husband died, the woman had to, if she wanted to continue with a family, she had to marry the nearest relative to that husband who died. So it wasn't a case of, oh, he's died, I must find another family, get involved with someone else. You actually inherited the brother or cousin or nephew of the person. And she discovered that there were two people who were actually close relatives of Elimelech, who were therefore her closest relation, and one of them decided, oh, I don't want to marry her, I'm going to lose my inheritance if I do. So Boaz, who was second in line, as it were, and who was her boss at that time, decided, yes, I will marry her to continue the family line. And that's what happened. So coming out of oblivion into a new relationship, gradually building up, until she got to the point where she actually married again to this guy. And Boaz and Ruth have got part of an interesting family tree, for any of you who are interested in that sort of thing, because they were both direct descendants of Mary, the mother of Jesus. There are lots of names in between, but going down the line, they were firstly descendants of King David, and then going on beyond that, they were descendants of Mary, probably about 1,000 years between the two. But one of the things we don't know was exactly when these events about Ruth happened. There's no clear indication of the time scale, other than the fact it was a very, very, very long time ago. And you can't help noticing how many similarities there are between the way she lived and the way some of us choose to live today. Just repeat that verse that we put up earlier. She was prepared to recognize that in a good, strong relationship, there is a lot of sacrifice. She knew that she would have to give up so much. Well, everything really of what she knew. She had to give it all up if she wanted to really support her mother-in-law. I wonder how many people would do that for their mother-in-law these days. Don't know. But that is something which is very important to her, that it was a full integration with a totally different lifestyle. And that couldn't have been easy. But we discovered that Ruth was prepared to do this. She was prepared to do these things because she loved her mother-in-law and she felt committed, because she was drawn to the God that Naomi worshipped and away from the gods of her homeland. So I just leave us with a thought for thinking of the passage of Ruth, and please do read through the whole book at some time. It's not a long book, it's only 4 chapters, and we were only just able to skim the surface. But if you like stories, if you like stories of romance and all sorts of things, you could say that there's elements of all of them in there. So do read through that book. But I just wonder how willing we are to go along with some of the things that Ruth did. How far are we prepared in going to love and support someone? Will we move to the ends of the earth for them? Are we prepared to go wherever God calls us to? Are we prepared to adapt to some other people's way of life? That's not easy. I think most of us tend to get stuck in a rut at some time, don't we? We all think, this is the way I do things, this is the way I will do things. Come off, I'm sure you all feel like that sometimes. We do, don't we? But here, she was willing to adapt. She was also willing, as we said, to do a very, very, very menial task to earn a living. And I think, again, some of us are quite reluctant to do that. We want to go straight in at the top and avoid the nasty bits. But she was prepared to work her way through to the top. And above all, how willing are we to recognise the true God? I guess all of us in this room are, and that's why we're here today. But I'm sure we've all got family members, friends, who do not recognise the true God. So perhaps this message is for them more than for us. Can we learn something from Ruth's way of life that we can teach others and demonstrate to them just how great our God is? That commitment she had to Naomi, can we demonstrate that we've got that commitment to worshipping and to loving God? I leave that thought with you. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for the example of Ruth. And thank you for the encouragement that Naomi gave Ruth, despite of her bitterness at the time. Sometimes the customs they had are something that we probably don't understand fully. But thank you that Ruth was prepared to adapt. And as a result, things worked out well for her. She found her new husband and she found a new life. Thank you for her example, Lord. May we, each one of us, follow it. Amen.